State of morals. After the state of religion, I come to the state of morals as predicted by the Holy Prophet, on whom be peace. One sign relating to the state of morals in the time of the promised Messiah is the increase in sexual immorality. So great was to be this increase that instead of being ashamed, people would take pride in being sexually immoral. According to Ibn Abi Shaybah, one of the signs of the eve of doomsday is a visible increase in sexual immorality. Similarly, according to Anas ibn Malik, as reported in Muslim, one of the signs of the latter days is an increase in adultery. Ibn Mardaway has reported from Abu Hurairah that one of the prophecies of the Holy Prophet about the latter days relates to the increase in illegitimate births. Sexual immorality is evident today. Sexual sins are more abundant. Acts which Islam condemns as immoral now seem like good manners. Ballroom dancing, praising the beauty of women, spending holidays with strange women are common practices today. Until the present time, these things were inconceivable everywhere. They were inconceivable in Arabia as in other countries. India had no conception of one God, but it was free from sexual immorality. Iran was a pleasure-loving country, but Iran was free from the public display of laxity in sexual behavior. The early Romans, greatly increasing the strength for Christianity, were morally primitive, but they practiced due restraint in sexual behavior. But what do we find today? If a picture of what is true today had been painted earlier, nobody would have believed it possible. Nobody would have thought that sexual laxity could be practiced on such a scale in the name of civilization. Dancing and entertainment existed in the past, but nobody would have thought that women of good families, families which constitute the backbone of civilized society, would take to dancing on such a scale. Nobody could imagine that dancing would be treated as the accomplishment of a lady, a source of social prestige and not of disrepute. The worst of all sexual sins, adultery, is on the increase. It has spread on such a large scale, and mostly in Christian countries, that it is hardly regarded as a sin. It is thought to be a natural activity and is taken for granted. There were prostitutes before, but nobody could imagine that they would be employed at high rates and maintained at army centers to entertain the soldiers and to satiate their sexual appetites, so that they did not have to leave their camps for the purpose. Nobody could think that friendly relations between men and women would grow so much that a strange woman living with a strange man would not seem strange at all, but that such behavior would begin to seem an essential part of human freedom. On the other hand, marriage would begin to be described as slavery. Hundreds of thousands of persons in Europe and America seem to think in these terms. Until today, who could even think that a time would come when people would seriously debate whether the contract of marriage is a wholesome human institution at all, or whether promiscuity is not as good or even better? After all, woman's function is to bear children. Whether children are born in or out of marriage is a matter of secondary importance. This being the state of sexual laxity, one can estimate how large must be the number of illegitimate children. Where sexual relations outside marriage are thought to be sinful, people do not like to have children tainted with sin. But when society becomes insensitive to sin, when marriage is regarded as an incomprehensible interference on the part of religion, there can be no shame in producing and acknowledging illegitimate children. In fact, when things come to such a pass, legitimacy becomes the exception rather than the rule. Those who are insensitive to the vice of adultery do not hesitate to produce children by it. However, many voices are raised in support of the marital relationship, but there is also morbid sympathy for illegitimate children. Philosophers and social scientists write on behalf of them and describe them as part of the wealth of each country and the means of its defense. Or else they try and persuade each state to regard illegitimate children as its own. From this scale of sexual sin, one can see how large must be the number of illegitimate children in the world. We cannot find a parallel for this in earlier history. Nobody could think of such a state of affairs. A moral change relating to the time of the promised Messiah and prophesied by the Holy Prophet is an increase in the use of alcoholic drinks. According to Anas bin Malik, as recorded in Muslim, one of the signs of the latter days is the excessive use of drink. Similarly, Abu Naim has reported on the authority of Huzaifa bin al-Yaman that one of the signs of the time, according to the Holy Prophet, would be the public drinking of wine. The abundance with which wine is used in our time needs no proof. In European countries, more wine is drunk than water. Wine was used in the past, but only as a source of pleasure or as medicine. But now, in a large part of the world, it is used as an ordinary drink at meals or at other times. The sign stressed by the Holy Prophet that wine would be drunk in public distinguishes the present from all other times. At other times, wine was a luxury and a pleasure for the few. Not in demand by everyone, it was provided only at special places. But now, it has become a common drink, so it has to be provided in all places and made accessible to all and sundry. In European countries, wine shops are found at short distances from each other so that people do not have to go a long way to find a place where they can buy wine and drink. Dining cars on railway trains are stocked with wine. In places like London, wine and water are sometimes sold at the same price. Nobody needs water for drinking. It is needed only for other uses. I am reminded here of the experience of one of our missionaries in England. This missionary had made a very favourable impression on his landlord by his courteous manner and straight dealings. One day the landlord said to him, "Remember my advice. It will help you to keep fit. Drink no water at all while you are in this country. My father drank water only once in his life and he died soon after. I am being wise. I have not touched water up to now." When told that his tenant did not drink wine but only water, the landlord was taken aback and found it hard to believe. Another great moral change relating to the promised time and predicted by the Holy Prophet is excessive gambling. It has been reported by Hazrat Ali and recorded by Daylami that one of the signs of the doomsday eve is excessive gambling as a sport. This great change is also apparent. In Europe and America, gambling is not merely a sport, it is part and parcel of the life of the great cities. In every walk of life, gambling has a place. It is common enough to play for stakes after dinner parties, but this is not all. Lotteries are so widespread that it may be said that about a quarter of the money which by rights should be used in trade is used in gambling. People of all classes, poor as well as rich, indulge in it, and they do so not occasionally but almost daily. The most prosperous clubs are those where gambling is a feature. In Monte Carlo, sometimes many millions of pounds change hands in a single night. So widespread is the evil of gambling that it is impossible to conceive of modern civilization without it. True, gambling existed even in the past, but there is no comparison between then and now. Perhaps a year of gambling in the past would be little compared with a day's gambling today. Many forms of insurance, life, fire, theft, etc., have been invented. In the past, people did not know even their names, but today they have become a necessity. A great moral change predicted by the Holy Prophet for the time is the disappearance of men of conscience, as reported by Naim bin Himad from Imr bin Yasir. It is disastrous, but true. Some people have tried to explain this away, but it remains an important sign. It means that at the time of the promised Messiah, men of good intentions, those who are ready to obey their consciences, will become the exception rather than the rule. We can readily see that change already. Outside the ranks of the followers of the promised Messiah, men of conscience, men who follow the inner voice, have become rare. There was a time when Muslim communities everywhere contained hundreds of thousands of persons who could be described as godly men. But if we look for them today, when our need for these men is so much greater, we will find hardly any. No doubt, we have our hereditary saints, scholars, dignitaries, and Sufis. Their followers run into millions, but not one of them has any real contact with God. They spend long hours reciting their special formulae and performing other ostensibly religious exercises. But repeating formulae and performing such exercises is not inner purity. The sign of inner purity is absorption in the love of God, which should result in an open return of love by God. We should find God coming to the help of those whom He loves. We should find Him standing by them for their triumph, opening secrets of the Holy Book to them, bestowing on them an abundance of spiritual knowledge. Those who love God and are loved by Him in return should then fight the battles of Islam, try and resolve the difficulties which confront Muslims, and cure the spiritual maladies from which they suffer. But the whole tribe of doctors, mystics, saints, savants, and scholars cannot produce one man of this description. In short, human conscience is as good as dead. In its place, we have the reign of low desires. Our saints and scholars pursue their desires rather than their consciences. A change pointed out by the Holy Prophet is the disappearance of honest dealings. Hazrat Ali had reported, as recorded in Daylami, that one sign of the eve of doomsday is the disappearance of honest dealings. The general replacement of honest dealings by dishonest ones is apparent everywhere. It needs no elaboration and no proving. Today, every street, every town, and every household can furnish examples of dishonest dealings. Another moral change predicted by the Holy Prophet is that regard for parents will decline and regard for friends will increase, reported by Abu Naim in Hilya on the authority of Huzaifa bin al-Yaman. The time of which the prophecy speaks was to be marked by increasing disobeying of parents by their children. Correspondingly, regard for friends was to increase. This change also is so acutely apparent that all decent men are distressed by what they see. Fond of Western manners and trained in Western sciences and literature, the young men of today look upon their elderly relations as primitive and foolish. They hate their company and love to spend their time instead in the company of friends who also follow Western ways. Lewd talk and immoral entertainment are their pastimes. Young men hold receptions and are ready to pay for the amusement of their friends while forgetting the needs of their poor parents. In our country, thousands of cases can be found of parents living on very little. They worked and saved to complete the education of their children. When the children grew up and began to earn money, however, they treated their parents with contempt, thinking it beneath their dignity to treat them even as their equals, but treating them as though they were their servants. Examples of such ill treatment of parents can be found by the thousand. In the past, they were very rare.